Well, I'm very honored to have in the studio today Stephen Taber. Welcome, Stephen. Stephen is the Assistant Federal Security Director of TSA here on Maui County, Department of Homeland Security. And there's so many questions. Of course, I love flying. I'm in and out of OGG, you know, all the time. It seems like once a month at least, but I take a lot of long flights. Everything from Maui is long, kind of, but I take flights to Europe and other places. So I went ahead and got global entry, which seemed exciting and good. And of course, I have TSA PreCheck, which makes life a lot easier. But there's a lot of people who still don't understand the basics of TSA. And I think part of the problem, Stephen, and I love your take on this, is that people get so nervous and so anxious about flying anyway that by the time they come to the security lines, they just aren't thinking properly. A lot of them forget things, you know, and they sometimes don't even remember to pull out their identification, or they leave their identification behind, and they're just not fully focused. I mean, do you see that people kind of just aren't acting their normal self when they're going through TSA?
Yes, and thank you for having me. I would say that is a very normal reaction we see from passengers here. And really, it's because people have come to Maui because it's one of the best islands in the world. They've had this really great vacation, and they're so busy thinking about the things that they've seen and done and the people they've met. And all that is on their mind, and they suddenly are in front of our officers and have forgot everything. So our officers have learned to be very patient, to help passengers any way they can, to provide them assistance with their identification, with getting everything ready for the x-ray, making sure they have everything out of their pockets and out of their bags that needs to come out. So it is something we see all the time. You know, we do our best to try and help everyone with that as much as possible.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been through TSA in lots of cities, and I have to say I always do feel the aloha spirit, especially here on Maui. And there are places, actually, there are TSAs I've gone through where they literally are yelling at you. And you get in line, it's like you're feeling like you're getting like the Marines are yelling at you and trying to get you in shape. But I don't feel that here on Maui. So how do you have I know obviously you have guidelines. Everyone has guidelines. But there is a little difference in each city when you go through TSA, isn't there?
Well, there is. And we definitely ask, you know, when I hire new officers, I always talk to them about the aloha spirit and what that means for our visitors and also for all the residents in the state of Hawaii. And that is something that we reinforce constantly, because we do want people to come to Maui and to have one of the best vacations of their lives and to come back. And for the residents here, you know, all of our officers come from all walks of life here, but they're a part of the community. So they do their best to take care of their family and friends and neighbors that come through here, because we're all part of the same island. I know I've traveled quite extensively myself, and even as a director with the TSA, I've experienced some really great customer service, and unfortunately, there have been times when it hasn't been so great. And I know working in a large airport like LAX, Atlanta, Chicago, the pace is much different. It's much quicker. And they're dealing with a lot more people than we do here.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes that can make that job pretty tough. I know that we do ask all of our officers to have a high level of customer service. In fact, it's a part of our motto. A lot of people don't know that TSA has a motto, but our motto is world-class security, world-class customer service.
I did not know that.
And that goes back to the creation of the TSA. When the TSA was first created, we actually brought in experts from the travel industry, including Disney. And Disney's contribution was how we should be treating the public with dignity and respect, and really kind of reinforcing the values of our organization. So even though people can experience some bad situations on different occasions, it is something we definitely try to avoid at all costs, because every single one of our officers every day touches 2 million people.
Wow.
And the TSA, out of any other federal government organization, has more contact with the public than anybody else. So we try our best to do that as best as we can, to have that high level of security, but also a high level of customer service, because it's a tough job, and I know some people are apprehensive about it, but it's our job not only to make sure people stay safe, but they feel as comfortable as they can while they're going through it.
You know, that's a really an interesting point, Stephen, because, I mean, I, you know, certainly know a lot of people in a lot of different jobs, but I don't have any interaction with federal agents of any sorts, usually at all. And TSA is actually the one I have the most interaction with. And, of course, you go through customs, and that is, but that's a whole other story. I know there were years ago, I remember we were running ads, and you were hiring a lot of people. Are you always looking for more people, or are you cutting back, or what is the status of your employment and looking for jobs there?
Well, nationally, we for several years were reducing our staffing because we were getting new equipment. We were focusing on being efficient as an organization. But that has changed. We have refocused our mission on stopping the threat. And in fact, that has caused us to slow down a little bit in how we process at times to make sure that we are taking the necessary time and effort to screen everything correctly. So as an organization, we have started hiring again because screening a little slower means we need more people. Because we want to make sure we're still providing good service to the public. So nationally, the number of officers has been increasing. Here on Maui, we constantly hire. Every other month, I have a job posting that goes out. And on average, we are hiring 50 to 60 officers every year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's because a lot of the officers we do recruit, about 60% of them come from the mainland. So they come here to Maui, we hire them to go through training, they work for us for about a year, then after a year they're eligible to transfer.
Oh, interesting.
So then they transfer back to the mainland. So I'm constantly going through a hiring process in order to make sure we have the staffing that we need.
And how do people go about applying for a job at TSA?
Well, they can go to usajobs.gov, which is a government hiring engine. It's ran by Monster Jobs. And they can put in information, just TSA Maui or Kahului, and the information can come up. Also, if they go to the TSA website, tsa.gov, there is a section in there for employment, and people can go in there and select from a menu the airports they're interested in, and then the system itself will alert them if a job posting opens, and then they can go through the hiring process.
I know TSA has to always be responsive to what I may say is sometimes pretty creative and awful ways that terrorists think of trying to get through security. And I remember this time, it was years ago, I happened to be flying on the day where there was liquids of some form. I forget who was it. Maybe but someone came up with a liquid gel problem. And I already packed, and that was a day that you were only allowed, they changed the rules, and you were only allowed 3 ounces. Of course, I didn't know that, and so I had all this stuff in my, I had all this stuff I packed before that rule, you know, I was aware of it. But things are constantly changing, and I think it seems to me like that issue with the 3 ounces of liquids is probably the problem you might have most with. Either people forget to unpack their water bottles, or they don't understand, you know, or it seems really hard when you have a baby and you have, you know, you have to feed them, you know, formula. So is that one of the issues that seems most confusing, is the 3 ounce rule?
I would say yes. Believe it or not, that rule has been in place now for 10 years.
Was it 10 years ago when that happened? Yeah,
it was in August of 2006. And yes, that is one of the most frequent things that we see with passengers here. And a lot of it has to do with our location, too. You know, a lot of travelers come here and it's a hot climate, so they have water and liquids in their bags that they forget about, or, you know, suntan lotion, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So we do have signs up in our officers that are out in front of the x-rays, remind people of these sorts of things. But I think because of the amount of time that has passed, with some people, they may not remember that still is a rule that's in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the threat is absolutely real as far as our enemies and the things that they try and do. So we are constantly developing new technology. And we're hoping here soon that our x-rays will be upgraded where they will be able to see these liquids and gels and aerosols and determine whether they're a threat or not without people having to remove them from their bags. You know, as we progress and the threat progresses, technology is really going to be one of the keys to success for us, because our enemies are very smart. Mm-hmm. You know, they constantly try and find ways around all of our security processes, and we have to stay ahead of them. You know, they can fail 1,000 times and continue on, and for us, we can't fail once. You know, Sunday is the 15th anniversary of September 11th, and I can't believe that it's been that long.
I always fly on that date because there's a lot more cheap airfares on that September 11th. Well, I hate to say it, it's a terrible thing, but people will never forget September 11th.
Absolutely true. And, you know, that it's even today, 15 years later, aviation is still the number one target of our enemies, of Al-Qaeda and now ISIL. Mm-hmm. And so we can't lose our focus. So
no.
That technology and our officers and them using their instincts and following procedures, I realize that, you know, sometimes that can seem a bit of an inconvenience for people, but mm-hmm. they really are there to keep them safe. And you know, I'm really happy that my last 14 and a half years with the TSA, we've never, ever had an attack get past us. And that's something we're going to continue to focus on.
I think that is something that people need to be aware of. We don't hear about all the victories and ways you've stopped people getting through. Unfortunately, we only hear when there's a threat or a problem, and thank God not here, but I mean, we don't hear about the successes. So, I mean, I know everyone believes it's important, but I don't think they realize how much good you do and how many threats are stopped. And so they don't see as much the reason for it, because they, every now and then you'll see a test and they say, oh, this got through or that got through it, or people were fooled. But they don't see all the things that have happened that have been successes on the part of TSA.
Yeah, and there are some great resources for them to get that information. We have a really strong social media campaign, and one of the things that is out there is the TSA blog. And every week, they put out a message for all of the threats that were stopped that week.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things we track are firearms. Mm-hmm. The number of instances where we had where firearms are stopped at the checkpoint, and unfortunately, every year that has continued to increase.
I think Texas is the worst, isn't it?
Texas is up there.
Yeah.
Texas is up there. But in 2015, we stopped over 2,600 firearms at checkpoints across the nation.
Wow.
And almost 80% of them were loaded.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so
that's unbelievable. 2,600.
2,600, and it's going to be even more this year.
Yeah.
But on average, our officers are stopping 70 to 80 firearms per week.
Wow.
And it's not just firearms. It's lots of other deadly weapons, knives, martial arts weapons. In fact, here in Kahului, although it was an antique, we actually discovered someone that was trying to travel with a cannon, a naval cannon.
Oh, my God.
And to my knowledge, it was it's the first cannon ever found by the TSA.
And carry-on.
It was in checked baggage.
Oh.
But still, you know, it's something I wouldn't like get on the plane. But all of these things are available for the public to see, because I do know that, you know, when something goes wrong, that is definitely publicized much more.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to know that the over 200 officers that we have here working in Maui County, not just at Kahului, but also Lanai and Molokai, every day work hard to keep people safe. And it is a really, really tough job trying to find those threats on the X-ray and on people can be very challenging, especially when, you know, they're conducting a pat down on someone. Every time they touch them, the person cringes.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to.
And a lot of people just cringe going through X-ray. I mean, I know people, they just I don't want to get X-ray. But I mean, I don't think twice about it, because I know it's just something you go through. But there were all those stories when the X-rays came out, how bad it was for you and what could be seen and what couldn't be seen, and it's an invasion of privacy. So there were a lot of that going on. So I see. You know, for me, it's just second nature. You go through X-ray now, you know. But I mean, when it came out, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
But people do get used to these things. I think when people don't get used to is the fact that they always forget things. You find a lot of items left behind, including, I think, a lot of spare change, because men especially, I mean, women have it in their wallet, but men empty out their pockets. And a lot of things get left without people being aware of it. And by the time they're gone, it's really hard to track them down and find them, you know, and they're off somewhere in the world. And so you get a lot of lost items every day, don't you?
We do, and we track them very closely. We work with the Hawaii DOT Airports Division. They have a lost and found. We have our own lost and found. We work together. If we get contacted by a passenger, we can identify the item and reconnect it with them. So we do our best to do that. But it is something that occurs all the time, not just with money, but also with personal items, laptops,
computers,
everything.
Yeah.
But we do keep it on hand. We try and locate the passenger if we can. And I'm happy to say that many times we are able to find the passengers before they leave the airport. You know, if it's a laptop, we'll turn it on and try and find a login. Same thing with cell phones, things like that, because I realize how apprehensive that can be for people, especially if it's a laptop or a cell phone that costs hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people sometimes just have other things on their mind.
Yeah.
So we do go out of our way as much as we can to try and get them back.
I always try to remind people in my book and in my show that you have to really breathe and relax and be aware. You got a super extra focus when you're going through TSA because you can lose everything from your identification. I mean, there's people that forget to leave their driver's licenses out or they have maybe their driver's license or the passport, and then they have their ticket, and they're holding all these things, and then they've got to take everything out. And along the way, you can lose things. And that's the last thing you want to do is lose your passport or your identification. If you're taking a trip, that's not a good thing to lose. So if you can just take a little extra time and focus a little more, I know it's hard for people, but it can really make the difference between a disastrous trip, especially if you lose your passport and you're traveling abroad, or your identification. You know, very, very important to be aware. And make a mental checklist. Did I put my identification back? Did I get my computer? Did I put everything back? You know, you're in a hurry usually, and that's the worst thing. When you're in a hurry, you really can lose things and leave things behind, you know?
Yeah, and in fact, it's happened to me. I travel quite a bit, and, you know, if I'm not paying attention, if I'm thinking about meetings and things I'm going off to do, and I don't take my time, there's been once that I walked off and left my laptop sitting there. And
ouch.
I made it about 20 feet and stopped and turned around,
but
it can happen to anybody. So that's great advice.
One thing I did want to ask, and I think it's very important for me, TSA PreCheck, but there's a little bit of confusion about it. I signed up for, as soon as I found out about TSA PreCheck, I thought it was great. But some people I've talked to say, I get TSA PreCheck'd automatically. They just put me there and I haven't ever signed up for it. And I go, I don't know how that happens because you know, and then some airline tickets forget sometimes to put PreCheck in. And there's a little confusion about it. So can you go down, what is the TSA PreCheck? How do you go about getting cleared for TSA PreCheck and how the rules work with PreCheck?
Well, in the start of the TSA PreCheck program, there were times where the air carriers themselves would take passengers, the high mileage travelers that constantly traveled, and put them into the TSA PreCheck program in order to boost up those numbers. And then the TSA itself at one point was adding people from different groups in order to bolster that program, to get the public interested in it, to in essence, give them a little taste of it and then hopefully encourage them to sign up for the program. But today, those same incentives don't apply anymore. Now, the TSA PreCheck program is based on enrollment. And the way people enroll is they fill out an online application and then they go down to the TSA PreCheck Enrollment Center, and there's one here in Wailuku, where they go through a face-to-face interview, background check is done, and as long as all that information comes back without concern, then they're then issued their TSA PreCheck number.
I didn't know that you had an office here in Wailuku.
Yes.
I thought it all had to be done online. I didn't know you had an office here.
Mm-hmm. It's been in operation for about a year and a half now.
Where is it?
It is actually only a couple blocks away from here.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good news. I mean, I went to Global Entry, and you have to go to Oahu for that, for an interview, because that's customs, and that's only over there. So that means you got to fly over there and spend the time, and then if you're just doing that, you got to fly back and everything.
Well, but a key difference is, for you as an international traveler, Global Entry provides you the same benefits of TSA PreCheck.
Mm-hmm.
And Customs and Border Protection also accepts it. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of our international travelers, they opt for Global Entry versus TSA PreCheck. It's a little bit more money. It's $100.
Right.
But
what does TSA PreCheck cost?
TSA PreCheck is essentially the same thing. It's $85, but it's only for domestic travel.
Okay. Okay, now, so this was the confusion. Sometimes I've seen, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not happening more, but sometimes I'd see people who weren't registered for PreCheck or Global Entry get funneled into the PreCheck line, and they didn't quite understand how it worked, you know, so they'd be taking off their shoes and taking out their computers and following the rules you have in regular TSA, but not in PreCheck. So does that still happen where people sometimes get just sent over to PreCheck?
It can still happen on occasion, but it isn't as prevalent as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And where it happens the most is at airports where there are canine handlers with dogs that have been trained specifically to sniff for explosives. And in fact, we used to have four canine teams here in Kahului. And when they would be at the airport, we would be conducting some special screening, which would allow standard passengers to then get TSA PreCheck screening.
I see.
And at larger airports, that is still in effect today.
Hmm.
But unfortunately, we no longer have the canines here.
How come?
Well, our canines are one of our best explosive assets.
Yeah, they are.
They're just outstanding at finding explosives. And they basically did a threat analysis. They looked at all the airports that had canines and airports that didn't. And they determined that they needed more canines at airports that have a higher threat, like Los Angeles.
I wish every airport used them. I know it takes a lot, but I mean, to me, that's the best way right now to really find it effective, to find explosives.
Well, and our administrator sees the same thing and wants the same thing. So he's gone to Congress and asked for more funding in order to train and hire more handlers and dogs so we can get them out to more airports. And
because you know what? If someone knows that you've got a dog there, it's going to be less likely for them to try to get through because they know the dogs are good at finding those explosives.
True, true.
You know, so just even having a dog on the premises, you should have dogs that aren't trained dogs and they wouldn't know the difference.
Well, I think in some cases...
Bring in your pet dog and just have them sit there.
Well, but our travelers are savvy. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've seen a lot of these TSA canines. And, mm-hmm. You know, some of them, if they saw a dog there, they'd expect to receive that extra screening.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, you know, we just can't do that. But I'm mm-hmm. hoping here, maybe in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, we'll get dogs back here on Maui.
It would be good. I mean, I really do feel they do an amazing job. I mean, truly amazing
job.
Well,
and not just at the airport. You know, we partnered with Maui Police Department and would provide them as a resource for them. If they, you know, had a concern with something, then they would go down and help assess the scene for them.
Wow. Well, let's talk about hours because I'm always a little confused about this. I mean, a lot of people fly early. I know a lot of times I fly, have to get out early, and especially if I go to Arizona or Phoenix or something and I have to get there at 6:30 flight or 7 o'clock flight or something. TSA, and I don't know if it's still true, used to open at 7. Is that still true? 7 in the morning. Is this, it still opens the lines up at 7 for regular TSA PreCheck, I'm talking.
Just PreCheck.
Yeah.
Well, it's dependent on the traffic for the day.
Oh.
The checkpoint itself opens at 5 a.m., but we don't open the TSA PreCheck lane until we have enough passengers to justify it. And what I mean by that is if we only have 10 people that are going to come through in an hour that are TSA PreCheck, it's not worth it from an economic standpoint to have 5 officers open that lane and stand there for an hour and only screen 10 people.
I thought there were regular hours of operation for PreCheck. I didn't realize it was up to discretion of how many people are going through.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, every day we get a report by hour of the number of TSA PreCheck passengers that we're expecting to come through. And we look at that and use that to determine, okay, we're going to open PreCheck here and we probably can close it down here.
Huh.
But even though we set that schedule, I've empowered the managers and the supervisors that if they do see, you know, you're starting to get more and more PreCheck passengers,
yeah.
that if they feel they have enough to go ahead and open the lane and get them through. So it really is a judgment call on their part when it's off hours. But I know that for people who've paid for the program, their expectation is to have the lane open. So one of the compromises that we've come up with is We still provide them the access through the TSA PreCheck line, so they don't have to stand in a longer line, and then they're directed to the lane that is open. So
I've had that happen.
They still get some of the benefit of it.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, they can go through the PreCheck style screening on that lane. That's why we give them the yellow card.
Well, I'm spoiled, and I have to say when that's happened to me, it's like, now I know why I like PreCheck. Oh, my gosh. I've got to go ahead and take my shoes off. I've got to take the computer out. I've got to take my jacket off. I mean, folks, it's really good to get PreCheck, but I'm worried that there's so many people getting it. Sometimes I've actually seen more people in PreCheck line than the regular line.
Well, and that has happened. I mean, as more and more people have signed up for the PreCheck program, we have seen those numbers increase. I mean, on a normal summer day, we would plan to have two PreCheck lanes running during our morning peak, you know, from about 9 a.m. up until 1 or 2 in the afternoon. But as that has increased, there have been some days where we've had to have three,
mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing, because when TSA PreCheck was first created, it was with the goal in mind of reaching a point where 80 to 90% of passengers were going to be going through PreCheck style screening, because we're using intelligence to vet them. These are individuals who have been through a background investigation, so we have a lot more information to determine who could be a threat and who can't. And that way, it becomes more of a norm instead of something right now that may only come up on occasion for some people. And that really is where we were headed as an organization, and that's also one of the reasons why over 2012, 13, 14, and 15, our staffing actually dropped, because we were planning to have more people in the TSA PreCheck program.
I had no idea that was the goal. I mean, that seems like a huge amount of people, 80%, people PreCheck.
Sure, but imagine, 80% of those people, those are people that have been through, like you, the same background investigation and the mm-hmm. one-on-one interview. So that provides an opportunity to know more about that person and whether mm-hmm. they're really a concern for us or not.
Interesting. Very interesting. So the ones you have to be careful of are the ones you, and of course, when you have a place where there's a lot of visitors, you aren't going to know a lot about those people. But do you get daily logs of who's coming through, and do you get like warning flags of people who might be dangerous that you don't know about? I mean, does that come something, and are they on your screen already of ones that you might have to watch out for?
So what I can say is I do get intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
We work very closely with intelligence organizations and with our own intelligence group on who is a concern. And if we did have someone come onto the island that was a concern, I would know about it. And if we needed to, we would plan additional resources to make sure that everything was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this intelligence has gotten really, really good in this age of information. So we do use it to help us screen better, to make sure that we're identifying who really may be a threat and making sure that they're not going to be a threat on that aircraft.
I think it's gotten to the point where, a lot of people aren't as concerned anymore. There was maybe 10, 15 years ago. Maybe the danger is you're doing such a good job that you don't want to let your guard down, because there was a time where there were a lot of concerns and a lot of stories about things happening. And we've been blessed with the fact that no major situations occurred with flying recently in the United States, and very little actually around the world compared to what we were thinking we might see. But yet we know there's still always that potential out there. And it's a hard situation when you don't know, but then there's the possibility. And yet you see things going smoothly, right? And no problems. So you go, well, it's going to be okay. No biggie. But you can't ever really rest on your laurels, can you?
No. And that's one of the difficulties of our job, because we do see this intelligence. We see what is happening around the world. We see the things that are concerning, and we have to plan for it and prepare for it and make sure our officers are ready. But it isn't something that we can necessarily share openly with the public, because mm-hmm. much of this information is protected. People, if it's not right in front of them, they don't remember it. So that can be a real challenge. And I think that you know, you hit it on the head. I mean, we have been very lucky within the borders of the United States that when there have been attempted attacks, they've been thwarted. There have been some attacks in the aviation industry around the world, several terrorist attacks of different kinds in the last 2 years. Unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their lives. But it has all been international. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if there was some sort of incident that took place in the United States, people would definitely focus on it more. But we can't rest on our laurels.
No.
You know, I'm constantly reminding my officers, you know, it's Maui, it's, you know, it's great. Everyone in the world comes here and you know, everybody wants to enjoy themselves, but don't lull yourself into a false sense of security. You know, one of the things I remind them of is, you know, some of the 9/11 hijackers went through a very small airport, and they did it on purpose.
I didn't realize that. It was small. Huh?
Yeah, so we always need to be in our game. You know, it doesn't matter what is going on. You always need to be focused. You need to make sure that you are stopping that threat, because mm-hmm. it could happen at any airport. In fact, there was a, you know, two young kids that had attempted to fly over to Syria to join ISIS. And after they were arrested, some of the information that came out was that they had planned to go to a small airport to fly out because they believed that security may be less.
Mm.
So that kind of perception is out there. Mm-hmm. Not true.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is just another example of, you know, why we always have to be on our guard.
I think people really need to also, and I always try to remind people to share the aloha back. I mean, I know everyone's stressful. Usually they're in a rush. Anxiety is high, and people can sometimes lose their manners and their aloha spirit when they're stressed out. But these are people really trying to do their best to protect you. And I really get upset when I sometimes see people treating you rudely, you know, and you have to put up with it. It's like, you know, it's not like you can arrest them for being rude, but I'm sure sometimes you may want to. But I mean, it's just so wrong when I see people being rude to TSA personnel who are just doing their jobs.
Yeah, that is one of the hardest part of the job. You know, people, for whatever reason, may be in a bad mood. You know, they may have, you know, gotten to the airport late or something else has gone wrong, and unfortunately, they take it out on my officers quite a bit. And that can be really hard on them. So, you know, I ask my leadership team, and I'm at the airport when it's busy as much as I can be, to step in. That way, if a passenger is upset about something and they want to yell at someone, I'd rather have them yell at me than mm-hmm. one of my officers,
mm-hmm.
because the officers are there, you know, focusing on their job, and I don't want them to second guess the things that they're doing or to feel badly for doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd much rather have them do that to me than one of my officers. And then maybe I can answer their questions or take care of the things that are concerning them. But I'm sure you know there are some people that it doesn't matter what you do, they're never going to be happy.
Yeah, and their ego gets like, how dare you do this to me? Don't you know who I am? Or what don't you, how you know, I've got to do this. Everyone goes through this. Everyone gets checked, except for the ones who have private jets, which I've never quite understood how that works, but that's another whole story. I mean, it's like, how can the private jets not have to go through TSA? You know, it's like, but otherwise we all go through it. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your time. You've been extremely helpful and informative with the information you've given. I've never thought I'd get a chance to actually interview TSA, because I know you have to be careful and things, but I think and hope you've explained a lot to people about the work you do and the job you do, which I think is an excellent job. I have nothing but respect, especially for the TSA personnel, and I fly a lot. I've only been treated really, really well here, so thank all of your people for the great job they do, and for the job you do, I thank you personally.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I'll be happy to come back anytime.
And if people want to go to the site and find out more at your blog site, a good resource, the site is at
www.tsa.gov.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen. Aloha.
Okay. Thank you.